Good morning. It is 10:03 a.m. We are here today, November 27th, 2023, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing of OPAPA 23-004, Duick and Co. Ltd. versus the Guam Power Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability is Jarek Hernandez. Will Appellant Duick please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Shannon Titano for Duick, also present with Camacho and Titano. Representing Duick is Attorney Levin Camacho. Present for Duick is Mr. Moon. And if Mr. Moon could have the other gentleman from Duick introduce themselves for the record. Sorry, Mr. Moon, your microphone is off.
Yes, good morning. I am SP Moon, Tui. Nice to meet you.
This is Hasan Hun for General Manager for TUI.
I think there's also one more gentleman. Or there's two people also on the call, two additional.
Mr. On. That's fine, Jarek.
Okay. Will purchasing agency GPA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, sir. This is Marianne Wallace-Chuck representing GPA, and with me is Tracy Lim Chiaco, our assistant general manager. She's not on camera because we are in the same room and the screen doesn't face that way, but she can be made to come here if we need to. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Good morning, everyone. We have motions this morning. I guess the first motion we should take is a confirmation. I noticed from the filing on the 23rd, there was a proposed concurrence from the AG. I noticed that it was not signed. Can you provide us a status this morning?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The AG has not responded to date, so we don't have his formal concurrence. However, I would point out that this project has to do with load shedding, and the Attorney General cares deeply about load shedding, as you can tell from his recent press releases about load shedding and the harms that it can cause. So I think if the Attorney General had time, he would concur with our position.
Well, doesn't the statute say that you're supposed to consult with him, and after consultation, the two of you are supposed to agree on the determination?
Actually, sir, if you look at the statute, it says that the chief procurement officer or the director of DPW have to consult and concur with the AG, but it doesn't say anything about the head of an autonomous agency. So it's possible that this statute doesn't even apply to us. We think that the public auditor has the authority to make this decision today, given the evidence in the record and the status of this statute and what the statutory language says.
You have procurement authority through the chief procurement officer. So your chief procurement officer would be either Mr. Beneventi or Ms. Limtiaco. You both have submitted very eloquent and compelling affidavits, but I see no concurrence by the Attorney General, and so without it, well, I'll let you argue how you can go about this without his signature. It's your motion. Go ahead and present it.
That was it, sir. That's our argument. It's that either the statute doesn't apply or the AG would concur if he had the time to go over what we've sent him. There, as you can see, there obviously is a substantial interest. The facts are on our side. This is a safety issue as well. As you would know, if you've driven through any intersections when the lights go out. So this is an important issue for the entire island. And we believe that the public auditor has the authority to make this decision today, despite the AG's, you know, non-submittal of the paperwork. We think that he would concur with us. Thank you.
Who has spoken to the Attorney General from GPA?
Our general manager has sent the Attorney General an email. Our other legal counsel.
Has anyone spoken to him? Down with him and gone through your very eloquent affidavits about the load shedding, presented him all the attachments that you have sent to me, and tried to have him understand his responsibility under the statute?
Yes, sir. There's our other legal counsel spoke with the deputy AG at the AG's office, who actually used to be legal counsel for GBA. And he is the one who was going to speak with the AG and present our position to him. So that's who spoke to the AG, not somebody actually from this organization, but from his very own organization.
I understand the need for it. It's just the way that the statute is written, you guys really leave me in a lurch, especially now that you've testified, or at least presented to me, that no one has spoken to the Attorney General. Ms. Taitino?
Thank you, sir, and good morning. I apologize, I'm kind of under the weather, but we disagree with GPA's interpretation of the statute. We believe that in order for the public auditor to determine whether there is a substantial government interest, you would need the Attorney General's concurrence after there has been a consultation, and GPA has not provided that information or the signed determination from the Attorney General. And so we believe that because it lacks the statutory requirements, the public auditor is not in a position to confirm or even review at this point the substantial government interest determination.
GPA, do you have anything further?
I don't, sir. That's all we've got. Thank you.
On the confirmation, there is nothing for the public auditor to confirm. By the use of the word confirm, it's to confirm what somebody else has done. And the way the statute's written under subsection one, there has to be a consultation between the department head and the purchasing agency with the Attorney General, and the two of them are supposed to, after that consultation, concur that there is a substantial interest, and that concurrence and the determination by both of you as to the substantial interest is then presented to us the public auditor for our confirmation, inasmuch as there is no concurrence by the Attorney General, I'm holding that we have nothing to confirm. And we'll go to the motion to dismiss. I believe that motion is yours, Ms. Taitano.
No.
Oh, sorry, that was actually our motion.
Oh.
All right, so sir, we've got two grounds here. We've got failure to exhaust administrative remedies and failure to state a claim. And we believe you could dismiss on either grounds. Failure to exhaust has to do with bringing all your claims from the beginning and not adding them piecemeal as the process goes along. So in this case, the other party raised some claims later on after the protest, you know. And so we would argue that the OPA lacks jurisdiction over the case, and it should be dismissed on those grounds. Even if the OPA is not persuaded by that, we can also say that the DUIC has failed to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. The relief that they want is to proceed to phase two of the procurement. And in every case, that is not something that is remediable by the claims that they make. So for instance, they argue about the blank score sheets. Those were filled in by the controller of the organization. You can figure out she's the controller because her name is on them and she is listed online as the controller. That's information that the OPA can take judicial notice of. And as the controller, she has like financial responsibilities, not technical ones. So if she had to fill in all the score sheets, everybody's score would still be the same because she doesn't evaluate those things. As for there not being a category of potentially acceptable, you know, the remedy for that is to make a category potentially acceptable, and DUIC score remains unchanged in that case, and it's still unacceptable. So it doesn't help them to have a potentially acceptable score. For the method of solicitation, you know, RFP is not appropriate here. And so the fact that there may be no justification for an IFB in the procurement paperwork, the remedy for that is to add the justification, but it doesn't change DUIC scores to acceptable, and it doesn't get them to phase two. As for section 5150, at the time this project was advertised, the legal counsel for GPA and for GWA who took over from him, they both had SAG appointments from the Attorney General's office. When the Attorney General terminated those appointments, our interpretation is that was only for new appointments, not for existing ones. Therefore, that section was complied with. So it also doesn't mean that this the appellant gets to proceed to phase two. The remedy is either comply with section 5150 or show that you have complied. And so we are showing that we have complied with it. So there's nothing there for doing. There are some precedents for this. There was a litigation in district court, which the counsel for GWA had to continue her representation despite the SAG being terminated because there is nobody else, because the Attorney General has lost so many attorneys. So there's nobody else to represent them in that litigation. So a judge has actually found that the SAG appointment continues for existing litigation. And then finally, as to the staffing, DUIC's argument only makes sense if you think that anybody can walk in off the street and operate and maintain a generator. You know, we believe that there are certain skills that are required in that, and we required the bidders to show that they were able to provide us with assurances that they have the staff who have the skills to operate and maintain the generators. And in this case, DUIC did not have the capacity to show us that, and that's why they got an unacceptable score. Just because they passed in some earlier project doesn't mean they are going to pass this one because the requirements are different. In the earlier one, we said that they could count on GPA's assistance for staff. In this one, we said you can no longer count on that. And that is why they got an unacceptable score this time. And that is why they are not entitled to the relief they are seeking. That is why they have failed to state a claim. And that is why, sir, we are asking you to dismiss this case. Thank you.
Ms. Taichino.
I'll be handling the opposition on this. I guess I'll just start by pointing out that the standard of review in a traditional motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim is to construe all facts in favor of the non-moving party and all legal allegations in favor of the non-moving party. What I believe, this is not a jurisdictional issue. What the GPA is arguing is that the auditor has no authority to hear claims that are raised during an appeal before it. And that is actually inconsistent with what the broad authority of the auditor is at this level. I know in their reply brief, they cited to the airport authority case for talking about exhausting administrative remedies. We are here and we are exhausting our administrative remedies. We have notified GPA as soon as we were informed or apprised of the additional violations of Guam procurement law. I guess at its core is this fundamental idea of fairness, and our client was deemed responsible, was awarded the contract 3 years ago, and then now has been determined not to be even deemed an acceptable bidder to proceed to phase two. And they rightfully get to question how you've gone from GPA determining that you have the ability to perform the contract to you not even being able to do that based on staffing. A lot of what Attorney Walaszczuk has raised really should be addressed at the merits hearing. And you have to accept our allegations as true at this stage. So if we have alleged that they did not properly comply with 5150, I don't believe they've produced any documents establishing beyond a doubt that they have consulted with the Attorney General's office at every phase, which is what is required by Section 5150. So we would proceed to the merits and they would be given an opportunity to present that evidence and we would be given an opportunity to counter it. The same with the scoring. They have basically conceded that one of the evaluators basically did not score the vast majority of the score sheet. And we allege that's a violation of the procurement code. And they've said, well, even assuming that she did not comply or did not follow the instructions, she didn't follow the instructions for everyone, so therefore there's no error. That doesn't deprive the auditor of the authority to hear that. It really deals more with fashioning remedies. So the auditor there was a protest, we filed an appeal. There clearly is jurisdiction over the claim that GPA has acted arbitrarily, and all of these are connected to that allegation. So we would request that the auditor find that it has authority to hear all of the claims and alleged violations that we have put forward at the hearings, at the hearing on the merits.
Anything further?
If I could add something, sir. As for the 5150 hour not having established it, I did ask you to look at news articles of which you can take judicial notice. So, you know, the solicitation was advertised in January. That is something that is a matter of public record. You know from your own experience that the prior legal counsel for GPA had a SAG appointment because he was appearing in these cases. And in addition, you know that from news stories that the Attorney General terminated those SAG appointments after this procurement started. So we have established 5150. If a designee is in place, the designee is the representative of the AG and doesn't need to consult with him or herself. So we have done that.
My concern is that I'm trying to figure out, I think the argument that you're trying to make is the fact that a SAG made the determination that they were doing the right thing by going with an IFB, a multi-step IFB rather than an RFP, though you were going for a a professional management contract, right? Is that what the PMC was?
It is. Performance management contract.
And whoever made the determination that it was going to be an IFB rather than RFP, the management contract would need to have, by necessity, have to have the qualifications. And so I'm just wondering, just because the SAG determined that the IFB was correct, doesn't make it correct if it's shown that the way that you're implementing the IFB and not allowing and then choosing people to sit on the evaluation committee who don't know how to evaluate qualification of the bidders and only wants to score financial things because that's all his or her interest in this. It sounds like a very flawed procurement to start with.
May I respond to that, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So there's more than one person evaluating the bids. There's like a whole bunch of them. I would say five or six. This is just one person who does the financials. She does the financials for all of them. The others have technical expertise. So they're the ones who can tell whether Duick is able to provide the kind of personnel needed to operate and maintain these generators. So by having one person who does only financials doesn't mean that we weren't able to evaluate it on a technical basis. This is just an additional person doing the evaluating. If you told us that, you know, I don't know, we would just be adding her. She is an additional evaluator for this one particular factor. But the others all have the technical expertise to evaluate all the other factors as well.
And couldn't you present at the hearing that whatever scores this evaluator could have provided would have not helped this bidder, because I can take judicial notice of the fact that when we do the RFPs for this office, for all the contracts that we do with all the RFPs, one person's tanking the bid, and I mean the evaluation, and giving it a 60 or a 40 could throw off the whole thing. And you would need to do a presentation of that in the evidentiary hearing to show that the controller's evaluation wasn't necessary, but just the way that this thing is going, I really don't think that I have enough to dismiss this action as it stands, and I'm not sure why you guys are keeping it going. I mean, you could do what you've done in 2020 and just cancel the bid and rebid it if you want and do it properly, or continue through this process. I don't feel that you've met your burden of on your motion for dismissal. So I'll expect everyone's list of evidence and witnesses. Jarek, when's that due? Next week? You're on mute.
I'm just pulling up the scheduling order. So the deadline for the hearing materials was December 4th, and the hearing brief is December 11th, with the hearing set for December 19th.
Okay. Thank you. So we're clear this morning. There's nothing for me to confirm. There has been no concurrence of the determination substantial need. Substantial interest. I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't understand or sympathize with GPA. I do. It's just that you've not provided me with evidence that besides a simple email, there's been as the statute requires, consultation with the AG to comply with the law and to get his or her concurrence. So there is nothing for this office to confirm on the motion to dismiss. On the motion to dismiss, you've not met your burden, and I'm not granting it. So I'll expect everything by next Monday. I guess the second is Monday, the fourth is Monday, right? So you have a week to get me everything for this hearing. And then the following Monday, I'll expect the briefs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You know, if we do hear from the Attorney General, we may try to resubmit our motion. Thank you. Because this is an important issue.
I agree with you. And I've been waiting for it. And then when on the 23rd, when you submitted the proposed concurrence, I thought, What are they going to, what am I supposed to do? I mean, because you can take, I'm taking notice of the fact that the other parties, the counsel for the other side, have been attorney generals before and had that position, and they know that the concurrence has to be there. And they know that they have me up on appeal because I disbarred someone, and they didn't believe that I had that authority. And they would have me up on appeal in a heartbeat if I thought that I granted a confirmation that hadn't been concurred with by the Attorney General. But I'm also giving everybody notice that this argument by the departments that the fact that the Attorney General, the SAG decides that the method of bidding is appropriate or does makes it infallible, that is not what happens in the real world. Their designation doesn't make it infallible and can't be challenged. I'm ready to issue a procurement appeal. I mean, not a procurement appeal, but a performance audit where somehow something was received the Attorney General's signature when it did not even when the bid should have been found as non-responsive, and the argument from the agency was the AG signed it, so it must be correct and infallible, and I'm saying no. And a determination even from the Attorney General himself, not just from a deputy SAG, that a wrong decision, I mean, a wrong action is a wrong action. There's nothing that gives infallibility. Even my decisions, they take up, because mine aren't infallible either. All right. I expect everything on the 4th and on the 11th. We'll see you on the 15th.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Are the hearings on the 19th?
19th, I mean. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. We're off the record at 10:35 a.m.